greatest of these is love.
Wow. Good stuff. Once again, a reminder that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, and he's been talking to the Corinthians about some problems that they've had and some misunderstandings that they've had. And he's been teaching them in this section on the proper use of spiritual gifts. And he's been working with them to help them to understand that the gifts that they have received, first of all, everyone has been gifted, but they have a purpose, and the purpose is to make God visible here on earth and build up the body of Christ so that it will be all that it's supposed to be, so that God will be seen and served here in this world and people will come to know him. And so he's been focusing on the gifts, and he's going to move on, and he's talking about important gifts and all of that. But then he says, he pauses kind of in the middle of his teaching on gifts, and he says, let me show you the most excellent way. And I like one of the things that Art said in Sunday school this morning. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about that which some of the gifts are made available to some people. All of the gifts are not necessarily made available to all of the people, and certainly not all of the time. I believe that all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to any believer in Christ if they need them. The Holy Spirit gives it in time of need. But it's specific gifting for specific tasks and calling that God has in order to make himself known in our world and in order to build up the body. And we don't all get all of them. But love is one of the fruit, or is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the thing that we all have access to. This is the thing that all of us, as a natural product of being in a right relationship with the living God, love is available to us and should flow into us and out of us freely. It's the most excellent way. And if we don't have love, we don't have a relationship with God. I could go to 1 John and kind of prove that to you. But here's the deal. Love is a natural byproduct of being in a right relationship with God the Father. But godly love only flows from God. And we need to be connected to God in order to have this in the way that it's supposed to be. It is a fruit, so it's not supposed to be something that you have to strain at, though it is something that you'll have to work at, just like a garden. Has anybody ever seen a garden that has been left uncared for? Does it still produce fruit? Not as good a fruit, not as large a fruit, but it will produce some fruit, okay? So, but if you want to have really good fruit, if you want to have really good produce, you need to cultivate that garden. You have to work it a little bit. And so love, while it is a gift from God, it's the natural product of being in right relationship with him, it is still something that we need to work at a little bit. We've talked already about the fact that without love, everything else that we do is kind of meaningless, pointless, and adds nothing to us or to anybody else. It's the most important thing. Last week we talked about love is patient. It is long-suffering. It withholds anger and wrath and scorn. Do you need all of the fruits? Yes. I was going to try and have a nice little analogy, but not everybody likes all the fruit. You go into a grocery store and they say, you can have whatever you want. Some of it you wouldn't take. But, you know, we we need to cultivate all of these gifts, but love is the primary one because it never fails. Love is patient. It's long-suffering. It bites its tongue. I just thought of that from something that someone just said to me. It counts to 10. It withholds a quick, angry response. It is patient. It's long-suffering. We talked about that more, and we talked about the fact that God is slow to anger, and we can be very, very thankful for that. And we need to give that same gift to our world, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to those who are outside of Christ. Well, love is kind, is what we're talking about today. Love is kind. It's interesting. I told you this before. This is a verb. It's the verbal form of this word. It's only used once in the New Testament, right here, as a verb. Love is kind. Love does kindness. Love, I don't even know how to say it as a verb. Love is kind. It sounds like we're an adjective or something, rather, or an adverb rather than as a verb. I don't know how to say the truth of what this is, but love enacts kindness. Let's just say it that way. Love does kindness. Love makes good things happen. Yeah, love makes good things happen for others. It's hard to use the word kind as a verb, but it is. In fact, in the English, we don't use kind as a verb. It's an adjective or a noun. And so I went to Webster's and I thought, well, you know, since we're looking at love as kind, I probably ought to. What's Webster's have to say about kind? If it's a noun, you're gonna love this: a group united by common traits or interests. A group united by common traits or interests. A specific or recognized variety. What kind of car do you drive? Okay. A doubtful or barely admissible member of a category. A kind of gray. I don't know about that one anyway. Fundamental nature or quality. Essence. A difference in degree, but not in kind. Goods or commodities as distinguished from money. Payment in kind. Okay, these are nouns. The equivalent of what has been offered or received, promised to return the favor in kind. And then there's a couple of archaic ones, and this is the reason I've kept reading. Nature, the nature of something. Okay, or archaic again. Family or lineage. Think kindred. Okay? Kind. They're kindred. They're of your family. They're of your native family. Now, the reason that I kind of wanted to grab a hold of that, because kindness is really important, especially towards strangers, towards those that we don't know. It's something that we ought to give, and we tend to naturally give more readily to people that we do know. But kindness to strangers goes a long, long way in helping them to experience the presence of God. And so one of the things that I was thinking about, and this is going to break down for y'all, because some of you have had terrible families. Some of you have. I was blessed, but you know, being kind is perhaps treating a stranger as a brother or sister, or as a mother or father. It's treating them with more honor and more respect. In other words, not seeing them as a stranger. Now, if you haven't had a good family, you don't understand that, you know, blood is thicker than water, and we stick together. kind of a thing, and it's us against the world, the old Hatfields and McCoys and things of that nature. You know, it's that whole idea of grouping that we do. Do you know why? Well, let me ask you this. Do you know when the most segregated hour of the Hassan's already of the week is? It's Sunday mornings. When we all group according to our own kind in our various places of worship. It's coming out of that, and it's seeing everybody else as a part of your family and treating them with that familial deference and preference, if you will. So I kind of wanted to grab a hold of that, kind of wanted to grab a hold of that. But we get to the adjective, and this is really more where it is, of a sympathetic or helpful nature. He was helped by a kind neighbor. They were very kind to us. 1B, of a forbearing nature, kind of goes with that patience, that long-suffering, of a forbearing nature. Gentle, kind treatment of animals. But as Art pointed out again in Sunday school, forbearing is not the same as kindness, because forbearance is withholding and kindness is giving. Kindness is acting towards. Kindness is engaging the other in a way that is helpful for them, that is beneficent to them. So there are lots of verses in the New Testament that have kindness in them, but none of them are the word that is here, because none of them are a verb. They're all either a noun or an adjective. And in Luke 6, 35 to 36, is where I really want to go, because this is where we see God's heart very clearly. Now, you're not going to like this passage. I don't like this passage, but I don't get to pick and choose, right? If God gives it to me, I have to say yes to it. Luke 6. Let's just go there. Luke 6, beginning probably around verse 35, but you know me. I have a tendency to wander. Oh, let's go back to 32. 6:32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. And here we are at verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Yeah, how many of you like, you love that passage? That's a beautiful passage, isn't it? See, kindness, I really do think, has this idea behind it of treating even the obstinate, difficult enemy with goodness and with familial favor, of loving them, of doing good to them rather than harm to them. Now, it doesn't, we know from farther down in 1 Corinthians, it does not rejoice with evil, but always seeks after the truth. So, you know, it's not this tolerance that our world talks about. That's not what we're talking about here. But we are talking about kindness, being intentional to strive to do good and toward anyone and everyone. even those that you struggle, and maybe even especially with those that you struggle the most with. Hassan. Well, discernment obviously is going to be important to the whole thing, because you're going to need wisdom to know how to do this, and that's one of the reasons why I think prayer is so important in the process. We don't want to put ourselves in harm's way, per se, and things of that nature, unless that's what God calls us to. He put himself in harm's way for us. So I'm not going to say that he won't ask you to do that, but you have to do it in prayerful submission to God, seeking what he wants. But notice this passage is about enemies. The passage that I am completely out of time, but the example that I would have for you, and I'd invite you to go home and read it, is in Luke 10. Luke 10, verses 30 to 37. Luke 10, 30 to 37. You all know this passage. Most of you know this passage. It's the Good Samaritan. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Tell me, how was the Good Samaritan kind? Do you remember? Huh? He helped, right? Okay, so he helped the man on the side of the road. But now listen to me. This wasn't any man on the side of the road. This was a Jewish man on the side of the road. Now, if you know anything about Jews and Samaritans, you know they don't get along so well. Now, I'm not going to say they're abject enemies, but they don't really get along. Okay? And so even the priest and the Levite walked past the man. And they walked past him probably for safety reasons, probably because they didn't want to get hurt, probably because they were in a dangerous place where to stop and help someone could cause bodily harm. Okay? But the Samaritan was kind. He stopped. He checked the guy out. He applied medication. He anointed him with oil. He bandaged up his wounds. He lifted him up off the ground and placed him on his donkey, and he carried him to a safe place, an inn, and he took him and he put him there, and then he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, which is 2 days' wages, and said, "Take care of him while I go on about my business. And when I come back, if I owe you any more, I'll pay it." That is kindness. Kindness is going above and beyond the call of duty. To do good to another, especially in times of distress, it's being present and helpful. There's another scene that I had thought about showing you. It's from a movie. That's fairly recent Christian movie. It's another question. Do you believe? Do you believe? It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Do you believe? And in this movie, there's a paramedic. And the paramedic prays with and for a dying man, and in the process he puts a cross in this dying man's hand, and as the man dies, the cross stays in his hand, and this paramedic is now being sued by the family for putting a man in distress, under more emotional distress, of having to accept Jesus Christ. That's hugely emotionally distressing, just so you know. And he's being sued because he shared Christ with a dying man. And they were avowed, the family were all avowed atheists. They were part of an atheist club, and they were very angry that he had done this. And so they sued him, and the city sued him, and everybody else sued him. The lawyer that sued him was then, as the movie goes on, in a car accident, and the paramedic pulls her out of the car before it explodes in flames. And she asks him afterwards, after everything is all cleaned up, why? Why would you help me when I have done everything in my power to destroy you? He says, because my God has called me to love you. He loves me. He loved me to the death. And he's called me to love you. He was kind to her. He didn't word it like that. I can't remember the exact words. You got to watch the movie. And he throws this verse in her face. He says, well, I'm supposed to pray for those who persecute me and do good to those who hate me. I think he quotes that. But here's the thing. Kindness is not easy. Forbearance, suffering long, patience, it's not easy. Okay? And I just got to get you guys past the notion that love is comfortable and squishy and easy, and that if you do it, it's going to feel good all the time. No, it won't. It is going to hurt. It's going to be painful. But love is what put Jesus on the cross for us. And love is what we owe the one who died in our place. It's the most excellent way, and if you don't have it, you don't really have God. It's not about us. It's about him. And because it's about him, it's not about we. It's about them. And we need to be a people who demonstrate this even to those that we find most difficult, even to those that we find it the hardest thing to do. There are people and circumstances and situations that I know most of us would rather lose a limb than see them safely into heaven. But I got to tell you, that's just the wrong attitude. It's the wrong heart, and it's not from God, and it's not love. And we need to pray that God would fill us with his love. A love that is kind. A quote that I got from a quote book. When it comes to helping others, some people stop at nothing. The cross of Jesus Christ, when it comes to helping others, some people, Christ himself, stop at nothing. They will go the farthest mile. They will go to their last breath. They will do whatever is necessary. And it's my prayer for us that we would be those people. The people that when it comes to helping others, we will stop at nothing. We will not allow anything to deter us. We will keep reaching. We will keep striving. We will keep working. We will keep praying. We will keep pleading. We will keep doing whatever is needed to help them, not just physically, but eternally. Because that's what really matters. Let's pray. Father, your kindness was expressed to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went to the cross to help us in our time of need, to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. Lord, would you make us a people who are willing to do whatever is necessary to demonstrate your love to those around us. First, Father, by being patient, being forbearing, being long-suffering, withholding our anger. And then by doing good, by interacting with the other person in a way that will bring good to them, Lord, help us. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.